Weekly Warm Pipe.
What's up, everyone?
PlayStation.
We're talking PlayStation 1 today.
That we are. You know, one of the first things I remember, I'm just jumping off the gate here, was the right commercial.
the main commercial, or that, like PlayStation, ending part?
Well, that part, but like, remember like Crash Bandicoot? He's holding up the little megaphone and he's like at Nintendo warehouse. I don't remember what he's saying, but he's basically like punking him, you know?
Like banter, just yelling out at him. I remember they had, I'm trying to see if I remember the commercials or curly. We should just look them up if we're starting talking about commercials.
Yeah. Sorry, Russ. I didn't really give you any intro. I just started like, let's look about some commercials.
PlayStation commercials.
PlayStation. Let's go. Here we go.
This
is the only PlayStation I've ever owned is a 3.
Really?
Yeah. I did buy my girlfriend one time the Mini back in 03 or 04. She had one as a kid. And I bought her Spyro.
I'm trying to remember if I think I got the Mini, but never opened it. PlayStation commercial. This is like an hour of PlayStation ads. Let's see if I remember any of these. I remember them being a little off the cuff, like wild.
It'll change the way you feel about bugs.
Weird. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't make me feel that way.
Over 200 apes are on the loose, and it's up to you to stop them.
Is this that monkey game? What's it called? Monkey ball?
Anti-ape devices, like a stun club, a slingshot.
A stun club.
Radar. You'll chase apes in a tank. You'll steer a remote control car. You'll even launch an aerial attack in a propeller-powered sky flyer. But you better prepare yourself, because things can get pretty hairy. Ape Escape.
Ape Escape. I had that game. Before I found that at a yard sale.
Fighting for the man, this an hour 45 minutes of PlayStation commercials.
This is some random commercials.
I can't go through all of those.
Yeah.
I would say the commercials definitely stand out to me, being a lot of them live action like this. There's the heck of monkeys in a car.
Google PlayStation Crash Bandicoot commercial, or just Crash Bandicoot. That'll be more specific. There we go. That's the one we need.
At Nintendo.
That's it. What's he saying? What's he telling Nintendo?
Hey, plumber boy, mustache man, your worst nightmare has arrived.
Pack up your stuff. I got a little surprise for you here. Check it out. What do you think about that? We got real time, 3D, lush organic environments. How's that make you feel, buddy? Feel a little like your days are numbered?
I'm going to have to ask you to leave. I mean, that's pretty much what the 64 did. But you know,
so he's got a truck outside of Nintendo's headquarters with a bunch of CRT TVs on it.
That's funny.
Wait, that, gameplay.
Does it say PlayStation at the end?
Oh, it probably does. Yeah. Let's see.
No, Bandicoot is an Australian name.
Oh, no, it didn't.
Maybe it didn't. I'm sure there's more than one of like him doing the banter.
So you know what's voice. In hindsight?
Okay.
Do you know how offensive that is? Knowing what we know now, that Nintendo almost partnered with PlayStation to make a Nintendo CD attachment.
Right.
Nintendo said, no, forget you. And PlayStation said, fine, we're going to do our, you know, Sony's like, we'll make our own.
Right. And
now
Nintendo
we're
going to
be out
Phillips.
Mocking you with our.
This is what you could have had.
See, exactly. But like as kids, we didn't know that. But I wonder if the people within the company were more offended by that.
Right. So it was kind of like an inside joke of them stabbing back at Nintendo. We're like, well, look what we got now, baby.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. I didn't think about that before.
Yeah, it's certain them being disc was also like, okay, well, Nintendo's still doing
cartridges.
Cartridges. Cause like you said, it was like N64-ish era. Well, let's hit the wiki.
Maybe between 64 and GameCube, it had to be about 97, right? 97? I'm thinking the PlayStation came out.
Let's see.
That's what my brain's telling me. Maybe it was 96.
Well, there's,
I don't know.
Japanese. First PlayStation, that was in Japan. Where is it in the U.S.?
The North America.
North America.
Release.
because it's showing, it says in Japan in 94.
Dang, really? That was way earlier than I assumed.
PlayStation 2, 3, 4. Why doesn't it just say I'm on the wiki?
You can't just Google PlayStation North America release?
All right.
Come on, Russ. All right, Mr. Get specific.
PlayStation.
Get specific, but don't get Pacific.
Let me see.
See the difference there?
One's it was September 9th, 1995.
Oh, dang. 2 years more than I thought. Okay.
So that's the time frame we're looking at. I'm just about going into high school, right? I went into high school in 96. So I'll be a...
What year did you graduate?
2000.
Oh, see, I graduated in 99.
Okay.
So... the first time I really remember the PlayStation was like 96 or 97. And I remember my friend Mark got one for Christmas. My friend Drew got one for Christmas. I don't know if Brad got one or not, but I remember asking my mom for one and she was like, no. I was like, why not? Like if my dad had still been alive, I probably would have got a PlayStation, but mom.
But she was like, "You already have a game console. What do you need?"
I don't really remember what her rebuttal was. I think it was just that it was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But like I've said before, my mom was notorious for if I asked for one thing, she wouldn't buy the one thing, but then she would buy like a bunch of things, and it probably equaled the same amount.
Oh, gotcha.
But I remember going to Mark's house, watching him play Crash Bandicoot, and being like a little butthurt that I didn't have one. A little jelly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure I got mine a little later. I know my friend Sal had one, and my friend Joe. And I'm sure I eventually got one. And I distinctly remember this story with my PlayStation. Listen up. All right. I got the PlayStation. Super excited. And for whatever reason, hooking the PlayStation up to my TV, it would get these like scrolling lines.
Ooh.
And it wasn't working properly. So we had called PlayStation support. We talked to them and they're like, I guess it was a common issue or something happened. So they're like, you got to ship your PlayStation into us.
No.
So I had to send it into them and it took a few weeks for them to fix it, but I did like a little survey and they actually gave me a free video game for my troubles.
So I hope it was a decent one, not some crap.
Right. It wasn't like, you know, MLB.
Like a Tomb Raider or something.
So I got to choose, I don't know the other games, but what I chose was Jersey Devil. If you remember that game? I don't know. It's a 3D platformer-ish style game.
What's he look like? Can we he's look like, at it real quick?
Yeah, he's like, you want me gameplay footage of it?
Yeah, that or a still image, either one. Something to jog the old crouch memory here.
Yeah. Jersey Devil PlayStation. I remember having a good time with it. So whatever it was, they had a someone said maybe because that's what would happen if it was a like European PlayStation or something like that. It wouldn't with the NT.
So do you think they got some mix matched in their inventory or something?
Maybe.
Oh, okay. That looks briefly familiar.
Yeah.
It looks like a Bubsy type.
Right. Literally any of those games.
Crash Bandicoot-esque.
And yeah, I still have it to this day, Jersey Devil. So I got that for free. They fixed my PlayStation and then I was able to continue on and play some games. And yeah, I had a good time playing with
it. Did
that
it feel
there.
Like an eternity though, Russ, waiting?
I'm sure it did. I mean, I'm sure it probably only took a week or two. And I'm like, it's been months.
Yeah, it's been years.
Where PS2 is coming out. So I was excited with that. But I think even before that, another story was before I had the PlayStation, I had gone with my mom to one of her friends' houses.
Mm-hmm.
She had brought me over because she couldn't leave me home alone or I don't know what the issue was, whatever. I went with her. We got there and my mom's friend's son had a PlayStation. I don't think he was there, though, but she's like, you can play with it. It was like just out on the ground with a bunch of games. So then I was trying whatever games he had and I put in Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
So I started playing it. And when I got in the mansion and got to that hallway with the darn dogs jump through the window. I was like super scared. I was like, oh my God, like, wow. Like I never experienced anything like this prior because there was no horror type games, at least that I knew, like on Super Nintendo or Sega, like that. Mm-mm. What do you got, Jay?
So one of the other things I remember about PlayStation was I have so many memories, but I can't think of the one I'm trying to tell you.
Can't pinpoint it down.
I remember playing a soccer game at my friend Drew's house.
Okay.
And did he let me borrow his PlayStation for a day? I can't remember, but I remember specifically trying to play some soccer game, and it was like, I was like, okay, it's not exactly what I would want to play if I had a PlayStation, but it was like, at least I was getting to play and experience one. I just remember being so jealous that everybody else had one and I didn't. I know what I was going to tell you. One of my biggest PlayStation memories was going to my buddy Mark's house, and we played a little game you might have heard of called Twisted Metal.
Nice, nice.
And that game, man, we played the heck out of that game. You could be that Sweet Tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could remember all the characters. I feel like there was like a car, like a blue car or something.
Like a Cadillac or something.
I can't remember, but it was more like a Corvette, like a sports car.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, which maybe I'm fabricating this, but I just loved driving around and shooting them and catching his car on fire. And, you know, like I'd never played. Well, I guess the closest I'd played to something like that was maybe like Mario Kart.
Right.
Like the balloon battle where you're trying to shoot each other with the turtle shells.
Yeah.
But nothing where it's like super destructive, you know, just like tearing cars up. So I always thought that game was pretty cool. Really liked Twisted Metal.
Yeah. I mean, and again, a lot of my experience was going over to other friends' houses that had the PlayStation and seeing what games they had and kind of enjoying it there. I remember going to my friend Brandon's house. Oftentimes we would get out of school and I would walk from the high school to Brandon's house because he lived closer to the high school than I did. So I'd go over his house, me, Brandon, and Sal, because Brandon had the internet.
Yes.
So we would go over. I had an AOL account under his, so I could sign on and go to the chat rooms and all that. But we also played a bunch of PlayStation.
You got mail.
So we played some PlayStation, and I remember him playing the heck out of this game called Intelligent Cube.
Intelligent Cube. Never heard of it.
Yeah, and I guess it's a pretty pricey one now, too, but it's a puzzle game. You play as this cube, and you're basically rotating the cube down this course.
It's like Marble Madness, but you're a cube.
Yeah, something like that, so to say. I don't know if I could bring up a trailer or gameplay of it there, but he put hours and hours into it because it was pretty challenging for sure. And I was like, I don't think I can get this.
Yeah, that seems a lot like Marble Madness, but 3D-esque.
Intelligent Cube.
I remember playing Crash Bandicoot at Mark's house, and I was like, oh, it's like it's the new Mario type game, you know? IQ.
A little guy on the path here.
Okay, I didn't even see that dude.
Yeah, so you're running up and then the cubes change color. I don't even know how you really play, but visually somehow you take the cubes away, and then if you're failing, the cubes are gonna crush
keep
this
rolling
poor guy.
You?
Yeah, I don't know, he was really into it. So
it sounds so mid-90s.
Right, and it's a basic, like, there's no background, it's all black.
Right.
And you just have the texture of the platform, the cubes, and the little guy.
I mean, puzzle games can be addicting. I was playing some Dr. Mario the other day, and that was fun.
Yeah. So I watched that one, and I never played it till much recently, but I watched my friend Sal play. Of course, we gotta mention this. Metal Gear, right?
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation. It was like full blown story and cutscenes and stealth.
Yeah.
And I just watch him like play it for hours and I'm like, I don't even know how I would play this here. Sneaking up on people and like can't be seen by these cameras.
I feel like I remember playing a hockey game on the PlayStation at least once.
Seems like all you've been playing is a sports game. I played a soccer game, a hockey game.
Hey, I was limited to what my friends had because I didn't have one.
Fair enough.
Other thing I feel like I remember playing was maybe like some racing game, like a Daytona.
Yeah. Or
what was it called? The name of the game that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, like Daytona 500.
Yeah, Daytona 500. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that was on there. And then what was that other racing game that was more?
Oh, you know what? Another one that I remember playing a lot on was Jet Moto.
Yeah.
Where you're like on like a jet ski.
Yep, that's up. I was like, okay, let's go with Jet. Good music on that one.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I think I actually have a copy of Jet Moto randomly somewhere because I wanted to know if I could play it on my PS3.
For sticking with sports, I played a ton of Cool Borders.
Ooh, Cool Borders. There you go.
I remember having Cool Borders 1, 2, and 3 and just going down the mountain, listening to the cool soundtrack, doing all the tricks and stuff. I had a good time. With Cool Borders for sure.
Let's see. Was Tekken on PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I remember playing Tekken.
Virtual Fighter, I think, maybe was on there. I know it was on Saturn.
Yeah. I remember Tekken. What else do I remember playing? Well, Spider-Man? Was Spider-Man on there?
Yep, there was a Spider-Man game on there.
I remember
there.
Playing that at Mark's house.
And then you had to play Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
I bet dude. We were playing Pro Skater on the PlayStation.
For sticking with sports, you had to pick Tony Hawk for sure.
Yeah, dude, I remember playing Tony Hawk. And, dude, even when I got my Xbox, I would play Tony Hawk games for hours. It never got old.
Well, that sparks another memory with PlayStation, which I've never seen this before, at least with Nintendo and Sega. Maybe Sega did it. Possibly, but getting game magazines with demo discs in with games. So you would try out Tony Hawk and maybe it's just that one level. And then maybe it's just the first level Crash Bandicoot. And you're trying these games. You're like, this is awesome. Like, I got to get these games, maybe rent them. And you get, you pay $5 for this magazine and you get 5-10 games in this demo disc.
Right. I mean, maybe you don't get to play a lot of them, but you get a little taste of each one.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a huge benefit of having a disc-based system that I never considered before.
Right. You could.
Like, you can't put a cartridge in a book.
Right. Right. It's going to be so thick.
And probably way cheaper to print a CD.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, you to put multiple games on a cartridge like back then, I'm sure was difficult. Like, how are you going to get the menus? I don't know, and all that.
Right.
They're like, with a CD? Yeah, sure. We could put 10 tracks on there,
but
pop it in.
Great idea.
So I remember seeing a ton of those, and, you know, you get that first level down, so then when you buy Tony Hawk Pro Skater, you're a master at the first level.
You're killing that first level. That's right. That's so funny. I forgot Pro Skater was on there. You know, another game, and this is when I bought my girlfriend the Mini in 2003. She had been big on Spyro.
Okay.
So I remember playing Spyro at her house, and I think there was probably some other game she had, but that's the one I remember playing the most, the little purple dragon. Breathing fire. Yeah.
Yep, that was a good I played that one a little bit here and there. Trying to go through my app here with all my PlayStation 1 games. See what else I was kind of digging into. All right. Crash Bandicoot. All the Cool Borders.
Banjo Kazooie was on Nintendo, right?
Yes.
I wonder if that was like the rebuttal to Crash Bandicoot, because those characters kind of remind me of each other.
Okay. I could see it. We got Dino Crisis. We got to talk PlayStation. You kind of got all those similar games that were like Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm. Shooter style.
Yeah, that same aspect there. So you got Dino Crisis, You got Parasite Eve, which was fantastic on there. You haven't played that one. And what else we got? Chrono Cross.
Oh, I found that at a yard sale about 6 months ago.
The so-and-so sequel to Chrono Trigger on the Super Nintendo.
Just like Chrono NES Cross. Complex says, trigger is trigger and cross is cross. From his research.
And now they released this on the Switch. I had picked it up and I was trying to play through it again. And I honestly couldn't get into it at all.
What's that?
Chrono Cross.
Oh, yeah. Not a fan.
And I was like, I mean, I loved it growing up. I got the strategy guide. I was all into it. And I don't know if it was just because of the hype of being off of Chrono Trigger, beating that, enjoying it so much. And I was just like, oh, I got to play the second one.
So, yeah, sometimes when you're younger, though, you can like squeeze happiness out of the same things that might not really be as good as they are.
Another RPG that I did have a good time with was the Lunar series. Lunar Eternal Blue and Silver Star Story was on PlayStation. Oddworld, you ever play that series?
So I remember that from the Xbox series.
Oh, okay.
And I always thought it was an Xbox exclusive. And the only thing I remember about that game is the front of it. Well, there's one called like Munich's Odyssey or something.
Yes.
Munch's Odyssey. I don't know what his name was. But I always remember it just reminded me of a can of Mountain Dew. That's all I remember.
Right. Yeah, it was a pretty neat story. We never completed it. It's like a platformer puzzle game, I would say. Each screen, you have to conquer the challenge, and then you move on to the next one. And yeah, me and my friend Sal go back and forth on the couch playing it, and you'd control Abe, and you're in this factory, and you're trying to escape. And you'd have certain commands, so he'd be like, wait, listen. And then he could fart or something and like laugh.
Oh, weird.
It was hilarious. It was a good time. I never beat it. I'd like to go back and play it. But then they had multiple games come out of that series, but that was a good one. I always think of PlayStation 1.
Okay, Odd Russ, World. I just remembered a game that we've got to talk about. And I only really remember this game. I don't think I ever really played it.
Okay. But
just the commercials for it. Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, absolutely. Kick, punch. It's all in the mind. If you want to test me, you're sure to find.
And it was like some like little onion guy teaching him how to do karate.
Yes.
Because I don't know why, because maybe he has layers like an ogre.
Parappa the Rapper. That was I would probably say that's the first rhythm game I was introduced to.
Yeah.
Other than maybe seeing like DDR at the arcade, but being home and like doing a rhythm game, I'm like, what is this? Okay, you have to press up this to kick and the. I was like, wow.
But like such a stereotypical 90s, like it just fit the 90s so perfectly, right? Like just,
right. Perfect timing, I'd say.
Yeah.
For when it came out. And I had done a while back a game convention that me and my buddy Mike Levy were guests at, and we did a panel. And after our panel, my friend Mike, helped host the panel, and it was the creator of Parappa the Rapper.
Oh, that's awesome!
So he helped him out in that panel, and I was like, oh man, that's so cool.
Parappa the Rapper, even the name.
Trying to bring up some gameplay footage if you guys never seen this before. Yeah, he's Master Onion.
Master Onion.
Parappa the Rapper.
Holding the mic. You want to test me? I know you're fighting. You want to jump? Sure want to be jump. Nevertheless, you get...
They look like Paper Mario characters.
This guy's like doing extra stuff in there, getting the remix.
Kick, 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 punch. Papa punch, punch, punch. Yeah, I know, right?
A rapper to rapper. Definitely bringing back memories for sure.
So fun.
What are the ones I got in here? Well, if we're talking Resident Evil, we got Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3 on there, which I bought all of them probably at launch and loved them so much. And I even have the Resident Evil Survivor, ooh, which was the first person Resident Evil game. And I think you have to beat it in one sitting, or like the save is until like the very end of the game or something like that. So I beaten it once and I was like, I'm good.
One and done, eh?
One and done. And then of course, Silent Hill.
Silent Hill
was on there. And I thought that was awesome. It had a different feel than Resident Evil, since it wasn't exactly zombies. You're in a town, you know, looking for your daughter. So daughter or your wife was gone in the first one.
I don't know, because I didn't play it.
Yeah, I think it's the daughter.
Missed out on a lot of stuff during that time era. So
it had that creepy atmosphere, and then you would hear the siren go off and you knew it was changing to the Silent Hill-esque, where everything's torn and demented and all that. And yeah, I had a great time going through it, and I got like some special weapon at the end that was like a ray gun. So then I went back through it to like just decimate all the monsters that gave me trouble throughout. So I bet you it's still on my memory card somewhere on there. I'm excited though. They're doing a remake of Silent Hill 2 that will be coming out for the new gen systems. I never played the original Silent Hill 2, which was on PlayStation 2, but a lot of people said that one was really good.
Yeah, I've never played any Silent Hill game ever.
Yeah, and they come out, there was one on the Wii. There might have been two on the Wii. So there's a whole bunch. I didn't follow up with it. I did watch all the movies, and I think there is a TV series as well, which I want to check out. But PlayStation. Also, hey, where's your controller before you're holding up?
So here's controller? It's my PS3 controller.
Okay, you're holding that. Well, I was going to say the first ones came out and they didn't have those analog sticks.
Yeah. Yep. No analog. You had
the original PlayStation, it's just basic controller, and then they added the analog sticks later in later editions.
Do you know the only reason why I bought a PS3?
For the Blu-ray player?
Nope, because 12 years ago, you could get the NHL app on the PS3, but not on the Xbox.
Oh, interesting.
So for me to watch hockey without having to have cable, I had to watch through the app. I had to have a PlayStation. And so I bought it used for $100 just worth to it. Watch hockey. I've worth never it. Played a game on it ever.
My friend had got his dad bought a TV, a Sony TV, and it came with the PlayStation 3.
That's crazy.
And his dad was like, what am I going to do with this? And he's like, it's a Blu-ray player. He's like, they sell a remote control.
I need to get
PlayStation sells, and you can just use it like that. So you don't have to use the game controller.
What's funny is I was talking to my wife the other day about getting rid of the PlayStation 3, because I literally never use it anymore. And I was like, but it's probably the only Blu-ray player we have. I don't know if that's true, though. I think my Xbox One has a Blu-ray player.
Okay.
But I still think that the PlayStation Blu-ray player is superior to the Xbox One.
Could be.
Who knows? I'm standing by that.
All right, we'll jump over to some comments. I asked you guys on social media, give us some PlayStation memories. You can follow us over on the community page on YouTube or Facebook group and all that jazz.
What did you say? What did you say?
Springfield, let's hear from you.
So I goofed up. I think I was posting somewhere and it double posted on our Facebook page. So I have two posts. So we'll read both comments from
okay, fair the enough. Post
there. So I got, three comments on Facebook. Brian Furtenton.
Furtenton.
I didn't play PS1 often. We would play the Crash games, but my favorite was Crash Team Racing. I got good at the game, knew all the secret shortcuts. I need to pick up the new remake of it.
CTR, not CRT.
Good old Crash Team Racing. Michael Chapman says he beat Die Hard Trilogy in one day.
Wow.
I don't think I even played that one.
All three? Dang, bro.
Must have been a lot of pizza, a lot of Mountain Dew. And then George chimes in. George Finch says he beat Crash Bandicoot 2 in one day.
Nice.
So I could definitely see that where you're stoked on the game. You got a new game and you're just focused in on it.
I feel like that's just such a Christmas staple, like getting a new system with a new game. That's why I wanted Crash Bandicoot in the PlayStation so bad. I wanted to wake up Christmas morning and then have that to do the rest of the day.
Right. Or, you know, you got your whole Christmas break.
Yeah, your whole Christmas break. I could play through Crash Bandicoot. That would have been so sick. Thanks for nothing, Mom.
We got Chris Fisher says, I'll never forget the countdown to the release of WWF Warzone.
Oh, yeah. Wrestling games were fun.
My best friend at the time and I would scour all over the video game magazines, soaking up every bit of info we could get our hands on about it. Of course, in hindsight, the game doesn't really hold up well at all, but at the time, it felt revolutionary. Yeah, those wrestling games definitely hit hard with people where it's like, oh, I can put matches, my dream matches
together,
essentially, from different eras.
Yeah, that was really cool, too. I know me and Mark and Brad played a lot of wrestling games on different consoles.
Richard King chimes in and says, my all-time favorite console. I know the 3D games haven't aged very well, but it's got some of the greatest RPGs and an amazing 2D game library of any console. I like to say SNES is where I discovered RPGs, but PS1 is where I fell in love with the genre. Well said. Well said.
Fair enough.
Let's see, and then we'll hop over to our YouTube and see what they got to say. We got 8 comments. Phoenix Seberis.
Phoenix Resale.
He says, PlayStation was the first console I purchased with my money from my job at Kmart while still in high school. Played the demo disc it came with, which had Jumping Jack Flash and like one level of Twisted Metal.
Yes.
For like the first month until I could buy a full game. So that's interesting. So he said he got the PlayStation and it came with the demo disc in there.
So he played the heck out of it.
Yeah. This system was awesome. Ended with a huge library of games. PlayStation was an RPG beast. Had some of my favorite games of all time. Final Fantasy Tactics, Final Fantasy 7, 8, Metal Gear Solid, Resident Evil 1, 2, and so much more. Great memories indeed.
Indeed.
Nice. We got 8-Bit Glitch. I remember walking into eBay Games and seeing a strategy guide for Metal Gear Solid and saying, whoa, what is this? At that point, it wasn't even out yet, and PlayStation wasn't even on my radar, as I was content with NES, SNES, Genesis.
As you should be.
That day, I bought a PS1 in anticipation for Metal Gear Solid. That was my introduction to modern gaming world at the time. Wow, so that was a system seller for you. Who's like,
yeah, what is this
game? Get me the system. I'm buying it. All right, we got TSE Dini. PlayStation 1 felt like such a massive jump in quality, visual and audio. Aside from all the amazing games, a funny memory is when the laser would go bad on a PlayStation. You would need to turn the PlayStation sideways to upside down to get it to read properly. This usually meant it was on its last leg.
Ooh, you were squeezing the last drop of juice out of that baby.
We got Retroholic 16. Hey fellas, I got my PS1 when I was about 13 and I instantly fell in love with Metal Gear Solid. Gran Turismo, that was the other racing.
Oh yeah, Gran Turismo. That's right.
And Siphon Filter. Yes. One of the coolest things I remember were the Pizza Hut demo discs. Those were too cool. See, again, these demo discs. I didn't even know Pizza Hut was hit. You get a pizza and a freaking demo disc with video games on it?
That sounds incredible.
Like, I'd be buying a pizza every week.
Pizza Hut. Make it a Pizza Hut night.
Wow. Great memory. We got Tony. Ooh. Tony says, I remember getting the original PlayStation for Christmas, 99. My sister bought it for me, and she was super excited to give it to me she bought it with her own money.
Aww.
She also bought me Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I love that game. It was the first game I owned and completed 100%. So naturally, when the Switch version came out, I had to pick it up.
Dude, can you imagine Christmas morning, you wake up, your sister, of all people, buys you a PlayStation, and the rest of the day, you just get to veg out on Tony Hawk. Sounds awesome.
I know it. And great music, too, in that. Fantastic.
Some Millencolin. That's where I learned about Millencolin.
Oh, yeah.
No cigar.
We got Chris Courage. This was the console generation where I started to lose interest in console gaming because of the shift to 3D. With that being said, I still like the 2D overhead Grand Theft Auto games more than the 3D stuff. What a perfect game to pass the controller around with friends.
Yep.
Now, I never played any of the Grand Theft Autos on PlayStation 1, but it's that like top-down perspective.
I feel like I played it at Marks or Brad's one. I don't remember who.
I'll have to like look into maybe some watch someone else play it because I feel like I'd probably get lost, but just to kind of get a vibe for it. And then we got DT. Was it Feminal?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. DT Phenomenal.
Sorry, it's really tiny on my screen. I just grew close to the screen to see it.
I'll zoom in here.
There you go.
I remember my mom making her boyfriend buy me a PlayStation with his tax return.
Heck yeah, make that boy pay.
I got the PlayStation Pix disc and a Battle Arena Toshinda. Years later, I was using the MTV music generator for my beats as a music producer, selling beats and music to artists around the world.
Nice.
I did things with that. It wasn't even programmed to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I never seen anyone use that MTV music generator before. I'd like seen the disc, never really knew what it was.
DT Phenomenal, do you have any tracks on YouTube? Drop us one in the next video. Maybe we can like play it for a second and get a feel for what you did with that thing.
Let's see. I'm trying to hop over to his YouTube channel and see if he's got any. I mean, I guess it wouldn't say like made with
PlayStation music generator.
Yeah, but let us know. That'd be interesting to see. And then we got Manuel Rodriguez says, mom came through with a PlayStation for my 14th birthday. Got Final Fantasy 5, 6, 7 and a memory card.
Nice.
Best birthday. Imagine she forgot the memory card.
Oh, dude, that would be a bummer.
You'd be like, I can't turn off the PlayStation.
Some salesman served her right.
Yeah.
Man, before you leave, you're going to need this memory card.
Your son won't be able to save his progress.
Your son will be not happy.
Nice. That definitely brings up some memory. A lot of people mention Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, that was a highly touted one, huh?
I did watch my friend Sal play a lot of Final Fantasy VII. I never played it or got into it, but I watched him play. And again, another thing, bringing up multiple discs. You get the games with these thick CD cases that you had to put in disc two. You're like, what? Like, oh, we're getting further. I'm going to put in another disc.
Right. Mind-blowing technology.
Yeah, it's like this game is huge. They got to use three discs.
Don't really big.
Don't see Nintendo doing that with three cartridges.
Yep.
Nice.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, put in cartridge two. Swap it out. We did get a voicemail, Jay.
Ooh.
I think they called a while back since we had backlogged all our podcasting. If you guys do want to call in, the number is listed in every description, or get a pen and remember now, 949-682-9277. That's 949-682-WARP. Let's hear it. Let's hear what the caller has to say.
I keep dreaming about my dream phone.
It's for you.
Hey,
hopefully I'm not too late for the podcast, but Jay, you're not dumb for not understanding Zelda, because this might not have anything to do with Super. We had Zelda on the Super Nintendo, but I don't know why I never put it in, never played it. I just thought it was one of those boring games. It was one of my dad's games, and those are the boring games, and we played the fun games. But anyways, I remember watching them for hours play Zelda Ocarina of Time on the Nintendo 64, and we would sit there and watch them. They're like, this is just boring. He's just running around this open world, killing things, getting rupees, and then we would play it, and you would just walk around, and you don't know what to do, and you're just lifting up plants and collecting these green coins.
It just seems pointless.
But, like, the deepest thing you've ever said, you said, it's a great analogy for real life. They just drop you in this open world, and most of us are just too dumb to understand what to do. And I think that's just what it is with Zelda when we were kids. We just didn't understand what to do. But now that I'm older, and I played it, like, I can't believe I ever thought this was a boring game. It's a great game, but what are you going to do? Kids are dumb. All right, guys, love the podcast. Bye.
I'm going to say that is my favorite phone call that we've ever got, because it was specifically to the comment that I made that I was too stupid to understand it. So I'm thankful that somebody else feels what I'm saying. Like, I just didn't get it. You know what I mean? I just didn't get it. It just didn't click. So I'm glad that, I mean, I'm sad that it didn't click for you as well, because we both missed out on a really good game until we got older. And then obviously could realize the mechanics behind it and what made it so great. But I just wish I could have got it back then. You know what I mean? I wish I could have put some time in when I was younger and really understood what I was doing. But much like you, I was like, I'm just wandering around looking for rupees and killing random things, and that's all there is to it.
Well, I think a lot of it too is where Mario, you pick up and you know, go left to right, right?
Right.
Complete the stage. Where with Zelda, you almost had to do your homework, where maybe you got to read the manual to know the story, the backstory, right. And oh, this, I'm searching for these things, and this is where I need to go. And
yep.
You can't just go in and then go, okay, I got to find the first dungeon to get a Triforce. You don't know that.
And it doesn't tell you. I'm the kind of guy that buys IKEA furniture and puts it together without reading the instructions. So imagine how I've played video games my whole life.
Okay.
Didn't read the instructions.
Just threw them out.
So thank you. I appreciate the phone call. And
they didn't say who it was, though. He just jumped in. So
yeah, that's okay. Whoever you are. Thank you. I feel a little less stupid. I appreciate the support.
Excellent. I was thinking another thing, since we were going back and forth, which is super innovative of PlayStation. You can actually play music CDs with the PlayStation. If you didn't have a CD player,
yep,
you could pop your music CD in there. And I think it had like a screensaver-ish something.
Yeah, I think Xbox copied that eventually.
Which that was something pretty big when it came out, because these other devices still cost a pretty penny. Like a CD player wasn't cheap. So if you're like, hey, we're going to get a CD player, or we could just get a PlayStation, which also plays CDs.
That's it.
Let's put the money into that. And then we can listen to music through that. If you had a party or whatever, I don't know. And again, I mean, this is PlayStation 1 we're talking about, but PlayStation continued to set the bar for each iteration. When PS2 came out, plays DVDs. That was a lot of people's first DVD player. PlayStation 3 came out, it was a Blu-ray player.
Right.
A lot of people's first Blu-ray player, maybe. Or at least an incentive to buy that.
Or turned into a cell phone and you could call people. Oh, wait, that didn't happen. Dad jokes, terrible jokes.
And now we got 5 that plays PlayStation 1 games.
And makes your bed.
We'll see. Maybe it will. trying to think anything else PlayStation-wise memories that come up?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, all my PlayStation memories are dependent on being with friends or when I bought my one girlfriend hers, but because I never had one,
mm-hmm.
I just don't have super intimate memories about it on my own.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, we certainly told a good few amount of stories. Trying to think of anything else that stands out in my mind. I said I experienced a lot of these games at other people's houses, looking through magazines, like most of you guys said, and seeing new games coming out. I was like, oh, I got to try that one. I will say, since they are disc-based games, this is my probably first disc-based system. Scratching the disc, yeah, be careful with that. Sometimes it wouldn't load. You put the game in, it'd give you a little screen, and then it wouldn't boot up. It'd be like, please insert disc. And you're like, no, it's in there.
Yeah, something's wrong. Scratch. You can't scratch a cartridge, can you, Nintendo?
Right. You'd be rough with those. You could throw a bunch in your bag.
Bury them in the backyard, dig them up, and 10 years later, they still work.
But with the disc games, you know, your CD case is broken. I remember a lot of times with my PlayStation games, if they broke, I would get, like, CDs that I didn't need or didn't listen to, and I would
harvest it.
Yeah, kind of make your own or whatever.
The other thing that's kind of synonymous with the PlayStation is just that classic triangle, circle, square, X on the controller there.
Yeah,
like, I mean, just something a little different to differentiate them from Nintendo.
And the different, yeah, each of them are a different color.
Yep.
So I did like that logo. And I will say, back to the CD part, I remember getting games at Blockbuster Video, and oftentimes it'd be just disc only, you know, wouldn't have the cover art. So then I'd try to make my own. I'd be, you know, I probably didn't have Photoshop then. So we're using Windows Paint or Microsoft Word or something like that, trying to get the measurements and printing your own.
Oh, CD, yeah, insert. That's funny.
So I have a few games still that have, like, the CD insert.
Homemade Rust CD inserts.
Yeah, because I think I got Cool Borders 3, and it was a CD insert game.
That's funny.
I wonder if, did I take a picture in here? Because that'd be funny. Yeah, oh wait, Gex. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. Will you be able to see it? I can do a zoom in here. So I printed the cover for Cool Borders 3. Because I must have got it loose.
Oh, sweet.
So it's not terrible. They have.
No, I mean, look into the phone. It looks perfect. Or look at the computer.
With Gex, I didn't get the sizing exactly correct. So,
hey, pretty dang close.
It's like a picture of the cover, and it has a white border.
Hey, you know, it's better than nothing.
But it was a cheaper game because it was loose and Blockbuster. So what'd I pay? Maybe under $10, I got a new game, and then
steal
just so it looked nice on the shelf, or so I could find it at least.
Yep.
And you can now go, if you guys don't know, there is a website. It is called thecoverproject.net, and that is a lifesaver for sure. If you need cover art, they literally have everything. It's like users submit it, and they have everything Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, and you can get tons of cover art there. And they even have, like, PAL versions or custom covers that people made. So if you want to print your own, we did that a ton when I was at the retro video game store working there, and we needed, like, PlayStation 2 games because they're basically like a DVD sleeve, and that was the easiest to print. And they had a ton on there, and super easy. You just trim it, pop it in, you're good to go.
Pretty cool, man.
Pretty cool. PlayStation.
PlayStation.
Yeah. And I just stayed Nintendo, PlayStation. I never went to Xbox. Jay got the original Xbox and experienced all that. For some reason, I never saw it after that. I just stayed with my PlayStation, moved on to PS2, moved on to PS3.
It's all about what spoke to you at the time, I guess.
Yeah. So glad to hear everyone's memories of the PlayStation system. Perhaps we can move on to another console next week. We're always open to new suggestions for video topics. You can leave them and any of our social medias, or again, you can leave us a voicemail and give us a call, or just head over to theweeklywarpipe.com for more info. Quick shout out to our Patreon supporters. We got Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Living Good, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, Retroholic 16, and Austin Mills. Being top tier Patreon supporters, you can head over to patreon.com/RussLyman for more info on that, to help out the show and all the stuff that I do, essentially. All the billions of YouTube channels I operate.
Yes. What channel will Russ make next week?
We shall see. Tune in to find out. Sweet, guys. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. As always, I'm Russ Lyman. Keep your world fun, bit by bit.
I'll PlayStation.
Cut you off.
I'll cut you off.